Hey there, so excited. This is my Into the Minds of Women series. And today I am talking with Lacey. We're calling her Lacey, okay? You know, I tell women when I'm interviewing them for this series that they can choose to be as anonymous as they want to be, simply because I want to be able to give you guys the candid, unfiltered answers that I know you want and need to hear to the questions you've always wanted answers. So that's why we do it in audio, and that's why you know, if somebody doesn't want to use their real name, they don't have to. I just hope that I can be consistent to call you Lacey the whole time. Okay. So, and I've known you a while, and so here's what I'd like for you to do to start this out. Tell everybody, our guys listening, just a little bit about you, where you're at in this phase of life, what you do for a living, just so that they know who the advice is coming from.
Okay. I'm 47 years old. I was married for 7 years, but have been divorced for 10. I have a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, two girls. And between my divorce and now, I was engaged for 3 years and didn't end up getting married. And I would say that I am one of those people who is out there. I'm on and off some of the apps, and I get set up by people, and I enjoy meeting new people. So I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to dating, but I am starting to narrow in on what I'm really looking for the next phase of my life. My kids are getting older. I have a great career. I have some financial security, and I'm looking for that person who's going to be my partner moving forward. And I think that that took a couple of years after ending my engagement to really feel out what that was, who I was, and what I'm looking for.
And what is your career?
I do business and legal consulting. I'm on the board of a public home building company, and I'm also an attorney. So I have my day job, and then I spend a lot of time working with nonprofits and strategic advising and serving on boards of directors.
I didn't even realize you were an attorney.
Yes.
Wow.
And a lactation educator, really important stuff.
Say that again?
A lactation educator.
Okay. All right. So we're going to dive right in here. Okay. So my first question I always ask the ladies is, what dating apps do you prefer?
So I've been back and forth on a bunch of them, and I feel like it depends on the timing. So before the whole COVID and quarantine, I think that Bumble and Hinge were maybe the ones that I liked the most. Although I also met some really great men on Tinder and maybe a couple of years before that on Match. So I think it's really more about your own personal vetting process rather than the app itself, because I believe that people go on and off the apps depending on if they're dating or where they are in their lives. And I feel like during the quarantine, I probably signed on and off a few more of them, just really more out of boredom slash maybe loneliness that I was feeling, and also knowing that I wasn't actually going to go meet anyone during that 2 or 3 month period.
You felt a little bit more experimental.
Yes, like, but then started feeling like it was wasting time, so it created that kind of disappointment. But you know, that's my own personal journey. Usually when I'm more active on them, I do it with the intention of meeting people, not the intention of having, you know, little text mates and buddies like
right.
that. So that I find frustrating, the going back and forth.
And are you social distance dating now? Or are you uncomfortable doing it? Where are you at? Because everybody has their different comfort levels.
I am social distance dating. I am uncomfortable with online dating, the Zoom, all of that. Personally, I'm an in-person kind of person. I don't love talking on the phone. I'll have a quick conversation, but I found the idea of Zoom dating just to be kind of strange. And for me, getting like self-conscious, seeing myself in the camera or what angle. And so I am doing some social distance dating now.
I think you're just as pretty on camera as I look at you here as you are in person.
Well,
and I like your hair up like this, by the way.
Thank you. This is the post gym sweaty look. I know how to dress for my next date.
You know, it's so funny because we actually talked about you yesterday. I didn't tell you this accidentally, because when I was interviewing Keisha about this and going through the questions, she said, remember that woman that was also in the group and we were talking that time and she was adamant about not doing the FaceTime and everything. And I had to really get my wheels turning. And then I was like, wait a minute. Oh my gosh. Yes. And so she's literally at the other side of the spectrum of the conversation about this, whereas she believes, you know, and I kind of agree with her, which is what I said when we were commenting within our private group that you're a part of, you know, that I think it's a really great way to pre-qualify people easily. I mean, before you get out of your house and make an effort, especially, I think honestly, even more so probably during this particular like COVID time.
And I totally agree. It's just, and like, yeah, I said in our group, it's very personal for me. And I'm also very much about chemistry, and I
for sure
can't get that. And, you know, when people say, well, what do you like? What are you looking for? What's your type? You know, I have a broad physical type. It's much more personality and it's much more chemistry. So,
well, we'll see as these questions go on if that's actually the truth.
Yes, there's certain things, but for me in the relationships I had, they're not necessarily people who, looking at them, would have been someone I would have been like, oh, I want to meet them.
Right. So, you know, I love, as I go through these interviews with the women, you know, I think all the women, it's kind of a theme that's developing. They all start out and they go, you know, I'm pretty easygoing and laid back. And then as we go through the questions, they're like, oh yeah, no, It's funny. Okay. So let's dive right in. Okay. Here we go. Hold on. Let me get my, give me back to that screen. Where am I? Right here. Perfect. Okay. So when you're on the dating apps and, you know, you have a limited time kind of to decide, what makes a guy initially, now I'm not saying you've swiped on him yet, but what initially makes you stop and take a look at a guy on the dating app? What makes him stand out at that point?
I think, you know, there's always the physical. I mean, being attractive or with their laughing or smiling or look like they're having fun. And as long as they don't have any selfies in the bathroom, or they're not all selfies, because then I feel like they don't have any friends. And I know that sounds really mean, but like, you can always find someone to take a picture. So those are my little quirky things. Then it's pretty much just
Let's slow down and say that again. Okay. You don't skate over it. Okay. So no bathroom selfies.
Especially if you don't edit out the urinal in the back, like if
right, or just the unattractiveness. You know, that is a really great point. I can't tell you how many men, and I've seen women too, but they take these photos in the bathroom mirror and not, or sometimes just they just are not aware of the yuckiness that's behind them. I've seen clothes piled up on the floor, or the home looks really unattractive. Or the bathroom looks really unattractive. You know, like I've said before, I don't want to see a picture of somebody somewhere where you're doing potentially number two.
Right. And then, or they're in their bedroom and the bed has like all this crap on it. And
exactly.
And again, this is only because you only have so much time. So there's certain things that I pick as my sensitive things. And I have children. Men who have children and put a bunch of pictures of the kids, for me, I think is a turnoff, not because they have them, but because they're not thinking about their kids when making their profile. So those are kind of my first in just looking at the profile. I also look, you know, I'm trying to think through the things, how far they are from me. I hate driving. So if they live really far away, that I take into consideration. I don't automatically say no, because some people are willing to relocate. I look at what they have for a profession, if they have a profession on there. And then,
are you more likely to swipe at a guy if he lists his profession than if he does, he has limited info?
It depends on
how cute he is.
Well, if how cute he is, I only date, or I prefer to date men who are the same religion as I am. So right. I look at that.
Right.
Or, you know, if there's a hint as to what their faith is, if there's strong faith in another faith, then it's an automatically no, because that's not going to be a match. And then I also will look at if any of their personality comes through. So it also depends how much time I have on my hands at that point in time. So if things are slow at work or we're in a quarantine, I may spend a little more time, you know, considering someone. If I'm in my normal work mode and kid mode and everything, I'll probably spend a little less time. So there's got to be something that grabs me about them showing their personality in their pictures or something like that. But
well, that takes me to something else.
Okay.
Because women, different women feel differently about this. How do you feel about a man who has like pictures where he looks like he's just really joking around, not taking anything seriously?
Doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I actually love men with a great sense of humor. So that doesn't bother me. If they have all sunglasses, that's a problem because I love eyes.
Right.
So, you know, it's all those little things that kind of have to get you first past the first look to swipe,
yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily mean you're going to even communicate with them. It's just, do you even want them in that basket of the possibility of communication?
Right. Exactly. And how do you feel if they have a picture of like another woman or are there other guys in the photos with them?
As long as there's one that's just them, it doesn't bother me.
Right. But I mean, what if it was a main photo and he, how do you feel about this? I actually haven't asked this question yet to anyone. How do you feel if the main photo is him and like another guy or a couple of guys?
So I think sometimes people
would you explore further to say,
yes.
Would you go, I don't have time. I don't know which one this guy is. Go away. Or would you be like, let me see which one he is.
I would go on because I think some people go on the apps and don't quite understand, you know, where they go. And sometimes the apps automatically reorder them and the person doesn't know.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's that fine balance. Like I want to meet someone who wants to meet someone, but I also don't necessarily want to meet someone who has so much time that they're spending hours perfecting their profile on the app. So I give them a little slack of maybe they just didn't know where their pictures were.
That's nice. Yeah, that's so. Very nice of you. I think pictures definitely matter. In fact, I know they do. But I think that you can really just go with three solid pictures, you know?
Absolutely.
Those who have so many, it does seem like a red flag to me too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lot. Okay, so after... let's see here. This is a question from a guy. After you contact a man by right swiping or maybe replying to a pic or a post, a la Hinge, is there a certain amount of days within that your first connection with him that you would want him to reply?
I mean, I would say within a couple days because then they just go to the end of the list and if all of a sudden I get a response, but I'm not, if we've had an initial exchange and they disappear, then I'm over it within 2 days. If I haven't heard initially back from them, then I'm not like checking back to see if they've responded. So if we're conversing, I expect a more timely response than if we haven't even exchanged messages yet.
If you could change one thing in terms of men's initial responses, what would it be?
Something a little more than hi,
right.
Or nice pick, or, you know, that's okay. Maybe for one exchange, but it's funny because, you know, you talk about what you look for. And I, even though I'm professional and I am a little bit of a type A, I want the guy in dating to take the initiative to like drive that. And I shouldn't have to make conversation, whether it's online or on the app or on text. Like I expect them to, you know, kind of put out there like, hey, I liked your picture, would love to talk more. But that hi, how are you?
Blah, yeah.
Like it's actually, I hate Hinge. I mean, sorry, I hate Bumble only for the reason is I don't want to always be the one to have to initiate. And since
right.
Bumble came out, that's made me insane because I'm like, oh great, now I have to think of the opener too. And then it always tells me I don't have a good opener. I'm like,
well, when I've done Bumble, I will always literally, I call it just cracking the door open, whether it's fair or not fair. I just say hi. So I've cracked the door open and now I'm wanting him to walk through the door with something.
Exactly. That's what I do too. I'll say, hello, how are you? Or, you know, something, but to have to, you know, I don't want to start off the potential relationship with being the alpha or the forward one. I want to give him the opportunity because that's the kind of man I want to be with.
Right. So let me ask you then, do you ever give one word answers to men when you're initially communicating with them through the dating apps or text messaging?
Only if it's someone who I maybe accidentally matched with or am not interested in.
I see.
But that happened more with when things like I was using on Tinder and it was kind of like right, left, right, left, right, left. And it was more of a gamification of the whole process. So I didn't necessarily pay attention or something like that. But if I matched with someone who I'm interested in with, no, I'm going to make an effort to respond.
But I've noticed certainly when I have read messages that, you know, my guys are showing me where they're communicating with women, and I've seen it with men communicating, you know, like with us, right? A lot of times people just give one or two word answers, which gives the other person no place to go.
Right. And I don't think that's fair. Just like I want him to open a conversation, I can't just expect him to carry it because, you know, it's still a mutual, it's still supposed to be a conversation.
Right. So do you think that if somebody is answering in that way, that perhaps they're not very interested in the other person?
Well, that's how I would take it if a man does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I have to keep, and I'll maybe go back and forth if they respond to me that way just to try to get something. And if it doesn't, then I move on because it's clear to me that they're not interested enough to put a sentence together.
So let me ask you another question then. If you, let's say maybe you connected with him and then you realize, oh, darn, you know, he's not really the one I really wanted to connect with. Is there a way in his messaging that he could turn it around? Like if you're initially thinking, I don't think this guy's for me.
You know what? I think it depends. I also, you know, this is what we're talking about in our group. I'm one, like after a couple exchanges, I kind of want to know if that person wants to meet or talk or something. It's if it keeps going back and forth. In fact, I'll tell you an example. I matched with someone on an app about 2 weeks ago, and the messaging was great and whatever. And, you know, he's like, I can't wait to meet you and blah, blah, blah. It's been 2 weeks and it hasn't made a plan. And it's not a social distancing thing. He travels for work. And at this point, I'm just like, all right, you know
what?
Did
you give him your number?
He did not ask for my number. He's just talking back and forth and the most complimentary, conversational, whatever. And I'm like, all right, this guy's either married or has a girlfriend or just lazy and wants people to talk to. And so with someone like that, I said, I don't know if you're actually interested in meeting, but let me know if so. Because I finally am at that point in my life, it's like, I don't have an extra 20 minutes to chat.
I know, just chit. I mean, I tell everybody, I think it should be maybe, you know, 3-4 messages, maybe 5 at the most, really. And then I think, you know, the man should mention, I mean, listen, I've been known to just say, hey, listen, I great talking with you, but I'm not really a big fan of the messaging. Here's my number if you want to give me a call. I mean, I've said that before if I really like them. And then, you know, and then basically I walk away at that point. And if they call, great. And if they don't, next. I mean, that's the beauty of the dating apps. It really is a numbers game and you just get back on there, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's why, you know, I think some women when they're newly single take it all very seriously and they're hurt when someone doesn't respond and whatever. And for me, it's like, you know, it's the dating game and it's how do you expose yourself to more people that are potential out of your little bubble of the world. And it's about, you know, you go back and forth and you either make a connection and what's, you know, I end up, if I meet the person in person, it more often than not, I end up connecting with them on some level where we've gone on or I've introduced them to someone or we've done something with one of my nonprofits together, or, you know, so I think there's value in meeting people however you can, but you can't do the online back and forth for days and days because it's just goes nowhere.
But yet you didn't want to suggest to that one guy that you had a good conversation with, oh, here's my number, just call me.
I mean, I guess I could have, but I was kind of just, I think that we had enough conversation.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. Asked. Right. And
yeah, I could have done that.
But oh, it's fine. I mean, I think men need to hear, this is why I'm doing this series, because every woman's a little different. But mm-hmm. yes and no. I mean, I do think that, because I know women well enough to know there is sort of a theme that emerges, which is they really, when it comes down to it, they really want a man to take the lead and make the effort.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They can slice it and dice it a million different ways. But so now let me ask you another question. This somebody I was interviewing had an opinion on this. I'm wondering where you're at with it. What if, and I don't know how much information you put on your profile, but let's say that you had limited information on your profile.
Right.
What if a guy just says, oh, hey, you know, you're really pretty, but I know nothing about you. Tell me what you like to do for fun.
That's fine. And I think my profile has I actually went back and put more in my profile, actually, after listening to some of your recordings about.
Oh, thank you.
Putting out, you know, being direct about what you're looking for, yeah. who you are. And, you know, I've gone back and forth times before where I had little information, a lot of information. And, but I'm happy to have that conversation. If it's in my profile and he just didn't read it, that's a little annoying, because I always, before I speak with someone, I go back to their profile and, you know, kind of read it.
Women consistently get annoyed when a guy will ask them a question. I totally agree. We were talking about this yesterday. Ask them a question, which is clearly on their profile, which shows that the guy didn't read her profile.
Right, right. And then it's just annoying because it takes 3 seconds to read a profile.
Right.
And so, but if I didn't have something and he asked, like, that's fine. Like, you know, if he says, what do you like to do? And I say, I like to hike. And he said, oh, we should go for a hike sometime. Then I can say, great.
Exactly. And, exactly.
You know, give me a call or whatever. But, you know, it's like you can't carry all the weight, but you also can't, you know, give one word answers and expect them to.
Expect the conversation to go anywhere. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So now what if a guy writes you and his message is written poorly? How strict are you about that?
So that used to be my pet peeve. But then I go back to the profile and I see if they're from another country, or try to kind of figure out if it's something that are typos that are just because he's rushed, or if he's not educated, or English is a second language. But I have a little pet peeve of all of the of the teen, like, how are you with a U,
yeah,
and an R instead of A-R-E. To me, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm old. That's not cool or funny. And I don't mind the little LOLs. I also have a thing about guys who have like 90 emojis, like send me like 90 emojis. I'm like, yeah.
A little immature. Does it read a little?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's not sophisticated.
Not sophisticated.
And it can be cute. And I have, you know, friends, or when I've been dating someone where you send those back and forth, but like to have that initial impression, I mean, I've had one guy who has like 7 of them, and then it ends in 007. I'm like, what? Like, he thinks James Bond. He's actually an interesting one. Someday offline, I'll tell you about him.
Oh, okay. Oh, dude. But, you know, don't save the good stuff for offline.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's been an interesting one. But yeah, the emoji thing in those communications, it's like,
so what if, like, because I was working with this one guy, and, you know, he's a smart guy. I mean, you know, but in his message to this woman, and I mean, here's the thing, here's why you really need to know your audience as well. You know, she happens to be a writer, and their conversation seemed like it was going well. And then he sent a message, and he said something, and I forget the sentence, but like, it should have said something like, we've gone, and it was like, went, like he put the word went in where it didn't belong, where it was just grammatically like a glaring error.
Yeah.
And then poof, she was gone shortly after that. Because her next message was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think we're a match. Now, we don't know if it was that, or, you know, you just never know where somebody's head's at. So.
Right. And I would say that I used to be super particular about that because I do copywriting and it just makes me crazy. But I've learned from looking at my own messaging and the number of typos or grammatical errors, because I may be multitasking and not paying close attention or dictating, that you know, if I go back and forth, sometimes people just are poor writers or they're dyslexic or there's something going on. So that's not going to be an automatic no if I meet them in person and their language skills are, if they don't seem educated or classy, I think that
non-sophisticated, yes.
Yes. Yes. So that would be more of an issue than in the message.
So when you give a guy your number on the dating apps, and you say, oh yeah, sure, call me or whatever it says, should he then coordinate afterwards? How do you feel about him then texting you to try to coordinate a call?
That's my favorite because I have a million things and kids and people around. So I need to coordinate a call. So that I prefer much, much more than just calling, because what will happen is they'll ask for my number and I'll be like, here's my number, but don't call me right now because it'll be in the middle.
Yeah, sometimes I've done that as well.
Yeah. So I think that's fine. That doesn't bother me.
Now, what are some red flags that you see on the dating apps? Like when you're looking at guys, what are red flags that you see sometimes for you?
For me, the ones who are open to non-monogamy, because that's not what I'm looking for. That for me is a deal breaker.
Men dressed in dresses kind of is one.
Yeah, that's kind of one. Or just, you know, when looking at their pictures, like holding the big fish in it, unless it's meant as a joke. You know, the ones that are trying to do the typical thing, or the pictures where they're, you know, flexing their muscles or trying to show off their packages on the camera, like things like that that are overtly sexual in the profile. Just because that's, again, not what I'm looking for.
Right.
And someone's putting that forward as their first introduction, that person's not looking for what I'm looking for.
And what are red flags that come up on actual dates when you're on a date with somebody, like a first date?
Oh, talking about money, whether talking about how little they have or how expensive something is or how much they have, saying really nasty things about an ex, especially if it's the mother of their children. Mm-hmm. And just having anger or a lack of accountability, being kind of a victim. So, or where I feel like I'm having to hold the conversation. I think those are kind of my first date, like icky things, or being rude, my biggest rude to the server, or to anyone else, the valet, the busboy, just, yeah, I don't do well with those people.
And so is there anytime where you've ever been on a date with somebody and you were like, oh, hell no?
Yes. Yes. More than once. And one of them was with a gentleman who seemed very interesting and he was very intelligent. And what I learned after the first hour of our date that was supposed to be a dinner date was that I kind of deduced that he was on the autism spectrum. So I was being a little bit extra conscientious that this was someone who had a difference in ability, but we went on for 2.5 hours of him talking without me saying a thing, never ordering dinner, didn't offer me anything to drink. So
are you in a restaurant?
We were in a restaurant.
Yeah, but here, Courtney, here's where I like stop the ladies. And I tell you, ladies, you got to take a little responsibility for that, for God's sakes. You got to
have
the waiter or say, I've go to the bathroom and I'll go to the waiter and go, can you come over and take our order? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And honestly, I did. And I felt bad. I felt awful being rude. And finally, 2.5 hours, he told me about the high school prank he pulled and whatever. And that was awful. That was awful. And then I've been on other ones that were painful, because after 20 minutes, I think we both knew that there was nothing there. And think we had to come to a close.
In these two cases, did you get on a call with them first?
Yes, brief calls. Like, because I don't like talking on the phone, as we know, so much with men. So it was like a brief exchange to kind of make a plan. And then it was, the first one was a few years ago. It was a little bit of a misjudgment. And then the recent ones have been more like, I I now have gotten smarter and I book an hour. So I say, hey, I would love to meet for a drink or whatever, whatever time, and just say, I have a dinner or something, so that that's, it's a set time period.
Yeah.
You can always go out again.
Yeah.
I used to set up two or three dates in an evening with time spacing, just because my schedule and afternoon or later, and then, but I don't have that much energy anymore. But, you know, it's really about now, unless they're driving in from a different place. I had a couple dates with someone, actually two different people coming in from Orange County. So that I obviously was not going to be like, okay, well, you get 45 minutes. So.
Right. You've driven 2 hours, but I give you 45 minutes. Right.
And I spoke to them both on the phone and we knew some mutual people. So it was a little more comfortable and, you know, so, but otherwise now if it's a really like an online date, a real blind date, then I will kind of make an hour plan, just knowing that either of us could want to get out of there.
And what do you like to do on a first date? What if he suggests coffee?
Oh, I am the queen of not liking coffee dates. I don't know why. It's just a thing for me. It seems kind of
cheap.
Like I meet a girlfriend for coffee, or I meet a business associate.
But it's not sexy. Coffee is not sexy.
Coffee is not sexy. And another thing, I'm going to just keep quoting your videos, is you're like, just tell them that, you know, you'd prefer to meet for a drink, or you prefer to go for a walk, or you prefer. And I'm like, you're right. I can say no. I don't have to feel guilty because he wants to do coffee. And I had a guy ask me out when I was recently away with my kids, someone I had met online. And he's like, how about if we have coffee at 2:30 on Friday? And I'm like, ew, like I'm going to either be, you know, doing something, but you know, it was one thing to say 5:30 to grab.
And what did you say to that?
I originally planned it, and then like 3 days before, and then I reached out to him. I said, you know what? It is just too hectic to try to fit in coffee. You know, if you want to try to meet one evening, and that was it. I had another one who asked me to come to his house for a drink, but wouldn't drive the 15 minutes to meet me for a drink.
Was this during COVID or no?
This was a few weeks ago. I mean, it's someone I had met online but knew mutual people. But that kind of thing where it's just like, do you really want to meet me, or are you just meeting me because at 2:30 on Friday you have time?
What's his What was the guy's reason for not willing to drive 15 minutes to meet you?
I didn't even get into it because why? I'm not going to, you know, I didn't need to meet him that badly if he wasn't like, of course I'll come to you.
Well, wait, no. Now hold on. Let's
talk. Okay.
It all comes down to clear communication.
Okay, absolutely.
So he suggested, he said, come over to my house.
And took a picture of all his different booze.
Yeah. And what did you say?
I said, I'm not really comfortable coming to someone's house for a first date. And then his response is, well, I'm like 15 minutes away. And I said, it's not the distance, and I'm here with friends. And then that was it. Never heard from him. He just, and maybe I should have said, I would love to meet you for a drink. Can you come to me?
Should have said that. Here's why I'm telling you this.
Okay.
Because when you first told the story, it sounded like that was discussed. And he said he would not drive 15 minutes away. So we don't really know. Now you might be right. He could be a jerk and lazy, whatever. But I think that to be determined until you like put it out there. I mean, I think just like the coffee guy, you know, and you may have heard this in one of my videos, but I think a good response to that, which I have given when they say, oh, you know, how about a coffee or a tea or whatever? And I go, oh, and I mean, and borderline bitchy, but I do it with a swinky face if it's through text. I said, oh, but I said, no coffee for me. It's just not sexy. And then I'll go winky face.
So I love that answer. I'm always worried that you use the word sexy, and then some men, not all, go to a place of thinking that you're looking for something sexy versus, you know, it's a fine line, Gina.
Until then, I know, totally agree. I love that we're talking about this, and that's totally true. So then maybe that's not the word you're comfortable with, but it could be like, I don't know. I mean,
festive, that's, interesting.
Yeah, fun. It's you know, let's shake it up with a little. How about we do something a little more fun, like a drink, or you know, you could say like that. You could use the word fun.
Right.
But I think that even using the word sexy, it's not a bad word to use because ultimately you're meeting them in a bar for one a drink. So
I totally agree. I think that my thing is the nature of some of the apps and some of the men's intentions on the apps.
Yeah.
Even if their profiles read that they're someone who is looking for more than a hookup and they don't say that, sometimes they assume differently of the women, even if you say it in our profile.
They can assume all they want. I mean, did you see that one, my live stream recently?
No.
Oh, you did not see it?
I did not see it.
Oh, you must. I'm not going to talk about it in this interview.
Okay,
good. All I'm going to say is go to my Gina Hendricks page, you know, my new one on Facebook.
Yep.
Watch the live stream of A Date Gone Wrong. Really wrong. You want to see it.
I'm going to watch that for sure.
Okay, so what is your favorite quality in a man?
Can I give two?
Give as many as you want.
Okay, qualities. Intelligence. Sense of humor, integrity, drive, and heart.
Drive meaning like ambition, like somebody who's
ambition.
Really, yeah.
And ambition, yes, in business, but also just in doing life, like a joie de vivre. Yeah. Someone who is out there living their lives, isn't complacent unless they've chosen to be laid back about something, but everything is a conscious decision. Their lives is a conscious decision. They're not just resigned to wherever they are because that's where they ended up.
And what are some turnoffs?
Well, I think I said people who talk about money because of insecurity in either direction. People who don't take accountability or blame other people for their issues.
Circumstances, yeah.
And men who are cheap, and I don't mean not generous, like they don't have to, I'm not a girl who will take gifts from a man. Like I know one of your things was talking about taking gifts and stuff, like on the first or second date.
And to be clear, what I said was for women not to take gifts.
Absolutely. So that's
don't want to mislead anybody who's listening.
Right. I'm sorry. I should be clear, but men who, you know, they don't tip their servers well, or you know, they talk about or if they're wealthy, they don't give back to society or give money to charity, and they just don't have a generous heart. They don't give of their time or money or energy to anything about themselves.
And what do you think of a man that wants to buy you something super, super expensive right away? Like right away.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. I mean, I think that it's just not who I am. And I'm not the kind of woman that they're going to be happy with if that is going to be something that will A, make me happy, or B, that I'll ever even accept. Like it's just, to me, that's uncomfortable.
But
and
so many women,
not appropriate.
So many women become like the, you know, the kid at Christmas.
I don't get it. And I know men who have dated women who by the second or third date have expectations like that. It just doesn't sit with me. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't sit well with me.
I think when
a guy brings me flowers on a second date, but if I showed up and there's a bracelet, I'm like, gross.
Right. So, and I've said this too, like, you know, I'm really glad you brought up flowers, because I think some men, you know, will bring flowers even on a first date. Mm-hmm. It's a nice gesture. I get it. But like I've told guys, like, bring flowers when you know you really like her. Like at that, on a first date, you don't even know if you like her yet. So it's not particularly sincere, you know?
I agree. I love it on the second date. And I love it when it's just, it comes from like, I really liked meeting you and I want you to know that I appreciate you.
Yeah.
So I agree totally.
And how do you feel about a guy sending a car for you, like, or offering?
I think it's really nice. I will always say no because I don't really want them to know my address. But on the other hand, if I drive or I'm taking an Uber home and I think they should pay for the valet or offer to pay for the Uber home, whether or not I accept, usually has to do with, I think I'm going to go out with them again. I'll accept the Uber because then I am okay with them knowing where I live. But I think it's a really nice gesture. I personally, because I'm a mom, would say no, but thank you very much for sending the car. And
but it's still a classy offer.
I think it's super classy. And I think it's a really classy offer. And I don't think you can even compare it to gifts and things. It's because in the old days we'd meet someone, they'd pick us up for our first date. This is
true.
Not really, you can't do that now. So
right. So okay. So if you go out with a guy and you're not initially attracted to him, is there any way he can turn it around?
Well, that's where the chemistry comes in. And, you know, if we have a nice time and we have a nice conversation and there's no problems or real red flags, I try, like I'll go on another date. I try. And that's where, for me, the chemistry thing, it's like, it's not so much about, I'm not into it, but it's, I'll keep giving it more time and energy to see if things change, because I don't think it's always right there in the very beginning.
I agree.
And sometimes when it's right there in the very beginning, like that overpowers the reality of the actual interpersonal. But I definitely, if it's a good conversation, we have a nice time, I'm 90% open to another date. If there were no big red flags or real issues, then absolutely. And like I said, it's always good to have more people in your circle. They may be right for someone else, or, you know, there may be a business or nonprofit connection. I went on a date on Sunday night with someone and it wasn't a match, but he's interested in some of the things I'm doing with a charity. And so I waited a few days because I didn't want it to be like I was following up on the date, but I have gathered the information that he was interested in. I'll just, you know, it was really nice meeting you. I wanted to connect you with this person about whatever. So I always think there's value in giving people a chance just to know more people.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And let's see, I had another good question I was going to ask you. Oh, so if you're dating, let's say you're dating a couple guys and you kind of like them, is there something one of them could do if they're sort of, if all parts are equal, is there something one of these guys could do that would set him apart from the rest, above and beyond?
Buy me jewelry. No, I'm kidding.
No, I know you're kidding.
I think, you know, I don't think there's any one thing. I think you just kind of build the connection, and maybe that's when there's a romantic gesture, like planning a fun date that's different. I love when guys have creative dates, even if it's sure. just silly stuff. You know, doing something that's not just dinner. You know, yeah. I mean, it's
you can
like
only you do a dinner, few you... dinners. You can only do a few dinners.
Oh, goodness. I sound like all I do is date, which it's I do date a lot, but I dated someone from last September till December that I was set up with. He would ask me to dinner every 2 weeks and we would go to dinner and that was it. Oh. Like it was in very nice dinners.
Wait, you dated from September to December?
We went out, not exclusively. We right. went out every 2 weeks from September to December and it was like zero momentum. And I finally said, I'm like, you know, this doesn't seem, you're really great, but this doesn't seem to be growing. And he's like, it was clear that he wasn't feeling it. And I was trying to feel something, but right. nothing was growing. But never anything aside from that, never a hike, never go hear music, go bowling. I mean, right. I don't anything. Care. I will go right. do anything.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
you know, a festival downtown, you know, right. go eat street food, or even have that be the date, go eat street food and, you know, sit in a park. So yeah. I think that if there's two guys and one is really being creative and keeping things interesting to develop a relationship versus just seeing each other and kind of rote. I think
let me ask you a question, because I know guys are thinking this. What about you suggesting, like when you were going out with that guy, you just sort of, you never made an suggestion to him, like, hey, let's do something different than just going to another restaurant?
I think it was one of those things that I kept thinking that it was going to be our last date and then all of a sudden he'd call. So I was not exactly feeling like we were developing a relationship. I felt it was someone that I go on a date with every 2 or 3 weeks. So, but absolutely, if I'm actively dating someone, we've gone out a few times, and there's, I see when we had a real lives and went out, where there's a play or a music thing or art walk, I'd absolutely say, hey, did you see the thing? That would be really fun. I'm absolutely fine with that after a few dates where I feel like we're both interested in pursuing it. I'm a little hesitant until I kind of feel like we're both interested in pursuing something to.
And how comfortable are you going to restaurants right now, like during the COVID? Like, or would you prefer like a picnic and wine on the beach?
I think I'll go to I had COVID and I have antibodies. So my comfort level may be different than others, but I'm comfortable going to a restaurant that has a patio or an outdoor area to sit because I feel that that's a little less risky. But I love the idea of going somewhere and having a picnic. And, you know, I think that is a great first date, but at this point I'd rather meet for a drink somewhere a little more public, just because, you know, meeting someone for the first time, being in a place where there's other people, not necessarily a bar, but somewhere, you know, where I'm not like in a remote location alone with someone.
Yeah, fair enough. I can see that. So yeah, that's actually a really great perspective. All right, so we're getting towards the end here.
Okay.
So what is a favorite thing that a man can do for you?
In terms of like once you're dating or?
Dating somebody, sure. If you're dating, what's your favorite thing that he can do for you? I mean, we could be anything, honestly, however you feel.
Planning, I think planning a romantic, you know, either date or getaway, romantic or fun, just something creative and putting some real thought into the dating of, you know, like doing something that's fun and exciting to experience together, not just thinking about dating as, oh, I buy you a meal, I buy you a drink, but being creative about exposing me to something he's interested in, or if it's something he knows I'm interested in, like a concert, getting tickets to a concert or something like that. But I think that really being tuned in both to what he thinks I'm interested in, but also wanting to share that, what he's interested in with me, and have fun experiences together. But I think after you've been dating a little while, there's nothing better than even a night away. And I have kids that I have full custody of, and men usually know that from the beginning, but they'll say, you know, is there a night that we can get away and go do something? And so I love when someone's interested in doing something fun with me.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How many dates would you feel comfortable going away with him? And would you want your own room?
After probably a couple dates, I'd feel comfortable. And I probably would not ask for my own room if I'm willing to go away with him in the first place.
Okay.
I think that one's against your rules too, Gina.
No, I don't think it is.
Okay, just making
sure. Because I tell my guys, I actually do think it's a classy move that, I mean, I don't know about asking for your own room. I don't even think I've really thought that through. But from the guy's side, when I'm giving advice to my guys who, you know, will want to take a woman up to San Francisco for the weekend or dinner or whatever they're doing, you know, I've told them you should offer her own room.
Right.
Because it, you know, people are sensitive. They don't want to share the same bathroom.
That's always my thing. I'm like, it depends. Right. But if I'm comfortable enough to go away with them, like the sharing the room is not always a consideration. But I think a man offering that to say, hey, right, I didn't take you away, I'm happy to get your own room.
Yes.
That's the kind of thoughtfulness that I appreciate, that they would even think about it and not put me in a position where I'm like, well, if I go away with him, I have to sleep with him. Because I think that is the subtext sometimes when a man doesn't offer that.
Correct. So I do think it's a good thing for guys to offer, whether the woman takes it or not. And, you know, a lot of times, and, you know, a woman might take her own room and then not stay in it.
Well, and I think there's something to be said for that. And I think I'm sensitive to a man and his position. And I guess you know, him spending money on another room. And I have, like, I feel bad. But on the other hand, there's something about you go away for a weekend with someone and you show up for the date at the bar and you're decked and they haven't watched you blow out your hair and do that's your makeup and you make your, you know, I think that's something that's kind of nice to be able to keep alive where you're not so comfortable that you're like in each other's space. Now, if it's a trip where you're going to go to a beach somewhere and just hang out, but I don't know, I think being able to make that entrance, but I always would feel a little bad that the guy had to get me a room. But if he's taking me away anyway, then I guess.
What if he were staying at the Four Seasons and he got you a room down the street at the Motel 6? No, I'm just kidding.
Then guess what? I will be on the next flight home.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to close this out. And I have two more questions. Well, I do like to ask a sex question, which is basically, you know, when it comes to sex, like what makes for a good lover?
Someone who doesn't talk too much. And really someone who takes it slow and, you know, is, I don't mind if they're aggressive in making me know that they want to have sex with me, but when it gets to a point where they're either guilting or not physically overpowering, but talking about it all the time and whatever, like, I think it has to happen. And I don't have a rule, you know, there's a 3-date rule and whatever, but I think it has to be something that happens together, not that is one person making the other person feel like, oh, well, and our next date is the date. So I think you have to build that.
Right. Okay.
But I mean, what makes for a good lover? I think that depends on the woman and the man and the
situation. I'm asking you, you are the woman.
Oh, I like a man confident in his masculinity.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, I have to say, you know, all these interviews bring up different memories for me. And I've dated two guys in the past that were, you know, not in optimal shape, we'll say. And I had no problem with it. It didn't bother me at all, but it bothered them.
Yeah.
And they didn't feel good about their body and themselves. And they would talk about it sometimes and sometimes stand in the mirror and kind of look at it was a turnoff for me. Like,
And it's a turnoff for men when we do that. And I mean, I'm like many women, very critical of myself, but with a guy in the beginning, you know, once you've been together a few years, you can do that because you're both complaining and you probably, you know, ate all the food together, but
right.
I dated a lot of men in less than optimal shape. My friends kind of teased me that I like chubby guys. And part of it is because they develop their personalities more sometimes. But yeah, I think it's that confident both in their bodies but in being the man in a relationship. And that to me translates into the bedroom. Like, where they're the alpha, and and it's hard. I'm a strong woman. You're a strong woman, but I still want a man who's a strong man.
Stronger than you.
Yep.
Okay. So in closing, I'm just going to say, is there anything else you want to share with our guys that are listening?
Just remember we're all in it together. And if you're looking for someone, you know, it's okay to let them know that what your intentions are without making them feel like you're not strong. So, you know, being confident
and vulnerable,
what you're looking for. Confident and vulnerable, but not too vulnerable. Where you're like, I can't wait to see you again. And, you know, and one more thing, Gina, and I, because I've dated a lot of men who are newly in the dating world because they've been divorced for a short amount of time, mm-hmm. you know, that wanting to jump into a relationship and thinking after the first date that you guys are moving into a relationship, just as much as men don't like that when they think a woman's kind of glommed on, it's very hard for women to have that too, because we're all trying to explore it. And when men are like, oh my God, I found that person to hold on to now that I am divorced, it's a really uncomfortable thing. So that's the one thing I think of that's in my recent experience.
Okay, great. Well, I love it. You've been super helpful. We've explored some things I hadn't talked about, and I'm so glad we covered it, and I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Gina.
Okay, bye-bye.